being able to have a consistent form of communication, an understanding of kindness and giving is so important. And it really is the foundation for a lot of things, whether it be students on social skills, learning, and their ability to carry that into social media, right? Because we know right. that's a reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cyberbullying's horrible.
It deals a lot with students' overall social emotional learning, their ability to maintain a mindful state, an ability for them to find happiness and contentment in social communication.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Allie Olin. Allie is the Director of Student Services, and she also is an occupational therapist, and she also has her MS in law, so she is quite educated. She works at Jersey City Community Charter School, and she is the Director of Student Support Services, and that's in Jersey City, New Jersey. That's quite a resume, Allie. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so very much, and thank you, everybody, for having me. I look forward to our conversation.
I'm excited to talk with you for sure today. So let's start out. Just tell me a little bit about Jersey City Community Charter School and what your role is there.
Sure. So for those of you that don't know, charter schools in New Jersey are considered public education. So we follow all of the same guidelines that a public school would complete. At the same time, we are a school of 594 students, grades K through 8. And we have a wide variety of cultural and demographic components to our school. General education, we have special ed, of course. Those students are fully integrated into our program. We have pull-out support programming for those students that require it. But other than that, we're a typical public school in the heart of Jersey City.
Very nice. Very nice. And how long have you been doing that?
I've been there 9 years now.
Nice. Nice. Very, very good. Very good. When we talked before the show, you told me a little bit about what you guys have started since the pandemic. Can you go into that and give us the name? I don't want to steal your thunder.
Sure. Appreciate that. So as we all went through the pandemic and we realized as we were ready to return back to school that there were a number of parameters that as educators we were all quite familiar with were now going to completely change. Everything sort of went upside down. And for me as an occupational therapist, my key thinking at all times with my students is constantly looking at their development and how is it that their prior development is going to impact what their future is going to look like. So I worried considerably about our students, our kindergarten and our first grade students specifically, having been out for 18 months and having never experienced an actual school setting. So I kind of put my OT brain to work, I guess, and contacted the occupational therapist that works directly with me at the school to provide those services. And we sat down, we put together what we now call Ready, Set, Grow. That's the thunder. Ready, Set, Grow has really taken on multiple tiers at this point. So back in 2022, when we first started, we were looking primarily at our K-1-2 students. And we wanted to target those students as they came back in basic skills that they were going to need. And that was being able to sit in a chair. From a sensory processing perspective, as well as those students being able to write or produce something in the form of written output to show their knowledge. Well, Karen and I worked together, put together, as a matter of fact, we just 2 weeks ago presented at the National Occupational Therapy Conference in Philadelphia. We presented our data and had the opportunity to really look at how we're those specific components going to impact a student in the classroom. We put together a program that allowed us to model the MTSS nationally, or in New Jersey, we call it NJTSS. At Jersey City Community Charter School, we've added, since we love acronyms, work NJ Success is how we refer to it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So we had taken that model of 6 weeks of direct explicit instruction, we went ahead and came up with OT-based skill sets, therapeutic intervention. We didn't call it OT. We just called it intervention.
Right.
And we provided it across the board to all of our students, K-1, 2. And we saw an incredible outcome. We were able to, for the most part, remediate a good amount of the deficiencies that we found within three buckets of either fine motor, sensory motor, or a combination of both. With 6 weeks of 30 minutes of intervention from a skilled therapist, with these students in small groups under tier two, and we were able to minimize our referral rate to special education considerably. Yeah. So then, of course, you know, I'm always willing to up my game. So I then had to really start to think about, well, now we've addressed the basics of sitting in a classroom. Now we have to address the academic piece. We have to look at that overall academic gap that we all know is there, whether it be from prior to the pandemic or resultant from not necessarily having specific skills during the pandemic or access to certain materials to enforce learning. So we actually now, through our NJTSS or NJ Success program, we actually now utilize FastBridge, which is a commercial product. We utilize that as our universal screener. We screen three times a year for all of our students, K through eight. And with that, we're able to assess students' performance, which to me is great because we have an SEL component, which now is huge. We also have math and we have ELA. And we're able to break down and really target even those students because we now in New Jersey, of course, know we have the components of identifying early dyslexia or at least suspecting it and then referring for the appropriate diagnosis. It allows us to also weed out students that we think might potentially have some form of dyslexia. So it really has helped us considerably. I have created a position. It's not a certificated position under the DOE, but we call them achievement coaches. I basically started to pilfer people from behavioral technicians because they understood data.
Data
in order to make sure my program's working. So what I did was we brought in a couple of behavioral technicians that no longer wanted to do ABA. I trained them in phonics and phonemic awareness through my learning consultant, which is a position we have specific to New Jersey and LDTC. So Maria and I worked diligently with my NJ Success team. We trained them and they actually provide tier two and tier three interventions for those students in general ed. It's all general ed now. So, you know, obviously if we have a student that has a specific skill set in SEL, that's an IEP student, but doesn't have counseling or a need for counseling under an IEP or even under a 504 if need be, we can still have them participate with the gen ed students in the SEL components.
Nice. So they're getting that support outside of the IEP, which is great. Yeah. Fantastic. So how much, and you talked about numbers. So utilization wise, you know, what did that do to your special education utilization by implementing these programs? How much have you seen the decline in need, which is exactly what MTSS and you know, early childhood identification is all about, is let's keep them off of an IEP, right? But I'm just really curious.
Least restrictive, right?
Yeah, least restrictive environment. Absolutely. That's what we always want for kids. We definitely, you know, let's get them back in the classroom, right? So what did, how did that, do you have, I know you have that data, but I'm just curious about like the general, what did you see as far as that working out for you?
We saw that there were a number of students that were able to, between immersion in the gen ed, right? Because we know that we have to factor that in. So it's hard to quantify a number.
Okay.
But we were able to generally see that those students that we had flagged were able to no longer have those deficiencies to the point where they would need specific occupational therapy intervention, which in turn would require an IEP.
Right.
You know, New Jersey's a little odd in the sense that they have ESLS or eligible for speech and language services. So you can have a classification category for speech, strictly ARTIC, you can't address language, but you can have speech as a component of special ed, but you can't have any other service unless the student is fully classified under one of the state classification categories, correct?
Yeah. the 13 classifications, right? Yeah. Speech is the only one that's, and as an SLP, yes, I have case managed and yes, I've done all that good stuff. Yeah.
You get it.
I would know. Yeah. I'm curious about splinter skills too. You know, that's the other thing. It's like we talk about learning loss during the pandemic and you know, that they but kids are still learning. So I'm sure there were some, like, I'm curious about that. This is me being a therapist. Yeah. You know, this is me just going, you're an OT, I'm a speech therapist. Let's talk about that. I'm just curious about what kind of splinter skills you were seeing. Like, cause I'm sure there were some things that students had and something that they didn't. Like what were you seeing there as far as that goes?
I think that we saw a significant decline in fine motor manipulation, I'll be honest. I think because students were legitimately functioning on computers, they really weren't outside, they weren't holding things, they weren't squeezing things. Necessarily didn't have access in some cases to a pair of scissors. Grasp was something that was significantly impacted, which, you know, obviously I'm not going to recommend therapy just because a kid can't hold a pair of scissors or a pencil. There's got to be other components to that. But we definitely saw that impact a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And their ability to do art and their ability to do
everything.
Any academics. Yeah, for sure.
Even ADL skills. These kids couldn't zip their coats in the middle of the winter.
Oh, poor babies. See, it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart for them. And you just want so much for them to be successful. And they're blessed to have you, to have this program and what you're doing and making their lives better. And you know, parents that go there don't even know the choice that they've made. Maybe they do. I shouldn't say they don't. But, you know, it's like you get something like that and you get a program that works really well. It's so nice to see. What is the next step for you? What's your plans going forward? Because I know you're not done.
I just wanted to add to one of the things about this that was really nice is that, you know, we have from federal mandates, we have Child Find. So by us utilizing this in a general education perspective, we were also meeting mandates affiliated with Child Find, separate from our speech screenings that we do for those RTIC students that may need it coming in. So what are we doing next? So we've now been able to address some of the academics for students, and that is going beautifully in my K-5. We're in the process of really building more of my 6, 7, and 8, because obviously the academic component there is a very different beast than what you have in the lower grades. But our next step is our third tier, as I call it, and we are going to now be developing a program that's going to be mostly project-based learning, but it's going to target our gifted and talented students.
So we now have one, we got
to go to the other end of the spectrum.
Right. That's fantastic. And then, and what are your thoughts about that program as far as like, what will that entail, do you think?
Well, I'm still going to use my achievement coaches because they now have that exposure. But within that, I need to also bring in somebody who has a greater understanding of core academics, right? That we can associate to core curriculum. So I'm going to be looking to hire for that. And at the same time, I want to be able to start working with those students because we want to make sure that we're targeting all of our population across the board.
Very good. Very, very good. So when you're not doing that, what else do you do?
Well, I love to cook. I love to garden. I'm a musician.
Nice.
Other than that, I mean, I'm a mom of two. My oldest lives down in South Carolina. He's a chef down there. And my youngest currently lives here at home. He is a graduate of Michigan State University. So big MSU fans, follow a lot of sports and things of that nature. So it's nice, important to balance everything.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to change our topic just a little bit because we still have a little bit of time and I love picking people's brains. So how we talked a little bit about kids and how we'll go back a little bit. You talked about them not grasping and not, you know, because they're on their tablets and they're on their phones. And what kind of advice would you give to parents or to schools where their technology is there. It's not going away. But it's harming our children. You know, I think that there is harm. I mean, I think there's good, but I think there's harm. So I'm curious about what your thoughts are about where technology is going in the educational setting and ways to manage that, especially for the littles, you know?
Well, I think for us, one of the biggest things that we have, I guess, initially started was, you know, everybody went into technology and then we wanted to keep that going. So we did away with paper-based learning for the majority of that. You know, there really aren't a lot of workbooks and, you know, passing out papers, things of that nature. I think we need to, as a school, sort of go back and balance that, because there are places and components in life where you still need to fill out a paper application. You still need to be able to do things that are going to require you to put your name, address, know how. I can't tell you how many kids don't know how to mail a letter. They really have no concept of that. Right. They don't know the cost of a stamp. You know, things of that. So I think, you know, we really need to not lose sight of some of those basic things that I guess at one point were more home-based instruction, because parents took the initiative to do that. Yeah. Now we function with a lot of families that necessarily are either single families, single parent family, or maybe both parents work. And so their amount of time is considerably limited to do some of those things. So that bonus falls on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important. It's life skills that are kind of, you know, it's concerning. You know, you just go, my kids are grown. You know, my youngest is 22. So, you know, it's like I remember us talking about phones, and my youngest got a phone at 13 because the other two got one when they were driving, you know. So now everybody's got a phone, and and I've talked to several people who are just taking phones out of the classroom. Like they're taking them out of the school.
Correct. Yeah. So at our middle school specifically, the students come in the door, they legitimately, they turn their phone, they push the button, show that the phone is physically off. They put it in, and as soon as they go, it goes in their locker and stays in their locker for the day.
Are you finding that some kids just aren't even bringing their phones to school?
I can't really say that applies in our environment, because a lot of students take public transportation. So the reality is, you know, in order for them to have safety and be able to keep in touch with an adult on the other end, it's really important.
Yeah, it's a balancing act, isn't it? It really is, you know, and it is environmental in where you are. You know, it's definitely, you know, if you're in, I mean, where I grew up in Nebraska, it would have been in the car, you know, because everybody drove to the high school, right?
Right, but and the car was unlocked, and
it didn't matter. Yeah, you know, it's like, we didn't lock our doors. Back door was always unlocked. You locked the front door because you don't want someone coming in. Yeah. But the back door, you could always get in the back door. It's a different world. It's a different, you know, every single, I mean, and even today, you know, the world we live in today versus 20, you know, well, I'm 57, so it's been a while.
I'm around there, so we're good.
a couple years ago. So I have one more question, and I ask this to every single, I think I missed once. Okay. If you could miraculously solve one challenge in the school, what would you want to solve?
Well, I have a few things that come to mind, but I think the first would be to maintain a culture in the school. I think being able to have a consistent form of communication, an understanding of kindness and giving is so important. And it really is the foundation for a lot of things, whether it be students on social skills, learning, and their ability to carry that into social media, right? Because we know that's a reality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cyberbullying's horrible.
It deals a lot with students' overall social emotional learning. Their ability to maintain a mindful state, an ability for them to, you know, find happiness and contentment in social communication. And even from staff, like, that is huge. You know, it's important nowadays for you to feel like you really want to go to the office. You want to go to work. Yeah. You know, we went into education for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're upholding that.
Right. That's great. That's a really great answer. I love that answer because it's true. Everybody's so divided right now, and it's a sad state that we're in right now. And I just hate it. I hate it. Because, you know, ultimately, we all want what's best for our kids. We all do, no matter where you are. Okay. Well, Ali, thank you so much for your time. This was a great conversation. Where should people go? Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Where should people go if they want to learn a little bit more about you or this program or what's happening at Jersey City Community Charter?
I would welcome people reaching out. I very much would love to be able to share what we have done because, again, that's why we do this, is to make a difference. And you can also reach me directly through my email, which is connect@firsteducate.org. Again, that's connect@firsteducate.org.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. That is fantastic. Again.
And I'm on LinkedIn and, you know, all of the normal. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Is it under Ali or is it under Alisa?
It might be under, I don't remember my LinkedIn off the top of my head, but it may be under Alisa, A-L-I-S-A.
A-L-I-S-A. And then it's O-L-I-N.
Correct. Right?
Beautiful. Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. And you know, you can always also reach out to us if you cannot find the information. Lighthouse and myself will be glad to help connect people with our podcast guests as well. So it's been a true pleasure. Really enjoyed talking with you.
Thank
really
you
impressed.
For the honor, really.
Yeah.
I would welcome coming back on other topics as well. That's great. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care.